welcome to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes Podcast. My name is Mitch Steven, and I am the founder, the sponsor, and sometimes even the host of this podcast. And this podcast is designed specifically to help you achieve your financial freedom, no matter where you have to go to find that independence. Our mission is to help you fire your boss and quit your job so that you can free up 2,600 hours a year to find out who you're supposed to be and to become the person you are supposed to become on this planet. So I invite you to subscribe, like, and share so that you can watch others that are on their way or have already accomplished this financial independence and are well on their way to becoming the person they are supposed to be. If you know of a guest that should be on this podcast, please go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com/podcast2. That's the number 2, /apply.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes. Today, we have Arash Hajam. He is joining us to talk about his business, Your Castle Real Estate, where he's based out of Denver, Colorado. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you could just kind of give us a start, like how did you start your business and what was the impetus behind getting this going?
Sure, sure. I'm actually, by trade, I'm an electrical engineer. So I got my PhD in engineering. It was around 2012 that I graduated with a engineering degree, PhD. And then after that, I was a faculty at University of Denver for about a year. During all this time, I always wanted to explore new opportunities for entrepreneurship, working for myself, kind of not just being an employee, but also having the excitement of going and doing something that I like on a full-time basis. So what I gradually started doing is looking at what people are doing online as far as like real estate, how they are making somewhat of a profit or making their lives better, their kids' lives better. So I looked into getting my license. And in about the year 2014, while I was working full time, I went and studied this course, a real estate course online. Got my license, and then the stuff that you have to do in order to enroll with a brokerage, I started that. And a little later on, I got into ways I could actually buy properties that are a little bit worn or a little bit, I would say, on the lower than average need work, a lot of work. I got into that. So I looked again. YouTube right now is the thing. You want to learn anything, you just go to YouTube and search it or Google. So I saw what other people were doing basically before and after, getting property that needed work and then fixing it up and either selling them or renting them out. At that time, I had some equity in my primary residence. And what I did a refinance. I pulled my equity out in order to have some cash available. And I utilized the cash in order to fix the property up. And I started with one rental. I shared what I did with my social media, my friends on Facebook. And then it's just after that, it's word of mouth. And the first year really was very, very slow. And then gradually people saw what I was doing, and it's after that it's exponential.
Okay, very cool. So you're actually a real estate agent as well as somebody who kind of buys and fixes up houses. That
is correct. And I do that for my clients as well. So when I say that, so I just don't do it for myself. I did that for myself the beginning, and then I shared my results with my my social media, And okay. Once they saw the before and after, they actually said, okay, he's not an agent that just buys properties. Move-in-ready properties. He can actually help us fix them as well. Now, I don't go hands and fixing stuff. I just know people. So I have a property that needs work for one of my clients, and I promise them, hey, you see this right now. You're putting X amount of dollars into it. And then after a while, once we fix it up, you'll be able to sell it for a certain amount, or you'll be able to rent it for a certain amount. And I promise that to my clients as well.
Okay. So this is kind of cool how you kind of made it your business to connect people then. So you connect your clients with people who can help them fix up the property or do what they want to do with the property, and help them turn that kind of into their own investment.
Yes, it's all about resources and knowing people and connecting people, like you said, kindly. Yes, I buy a property for my clients and I notice what is needed prior to actually signing the purchase contract. We say, okay, this property needs paint and it needs flooring. The kitchen is outdated, so we need to install new cabinets. We need to install new countertops, let's say. The bathroom needs some work. It needs central AC. We note all these down, and then we put a price for each item. So we itemize each item. Okay, we need X amount of dollars inside the kitchen. We need Y amount of dollars on flooring. We need this amount for paint. And then so they kind of see the budget and then how much they need to put into the property after they purchase it. And then once we purchase the property for them, I put them in touch with the right contractors. And the key is to stay and help your clients even after the closing. So if you just let them go after the closing, then that's not going to be good customer service. So you're not going to you're not obviously going to get that word of mouth spread. The key in my business is word of mouth. I don't do any social advertising, anything online anymore. It's just like clients doing the advertising for myself. And that, I think that's the best advertising one can have is, let's say you want to purchase a house and your best friend's already purchased a house and they come and tell you about their experience. You're going to trust your best friend a lot more than you would trust an online advertisement, right?
Right.
So that's how it's been going now.
That's very cool. Now, you mentioned that it was really slow in that first year, but then it started picking up and now it's kind of grown exponentially. Can you talk a little bit about how did you get through that first year or that first little bit that was really slow? I assume there were a lot of struggles and obstacles you needed to overcome as you were kind of pushing through that, especially after you had, taken a cash out refinance and you were trying to figure out like how to make sure everything stays everything stays profitable as you're moving forward. So
I'm just going to give this general advice for everybody who wants to start in real estate. It's not like the fairy tale that you see, okay, this agent sold these many houses, I'm going to get rich overnight. What I would recommend is to have a part-time job or to do real estate part-time to begin with. Real estate, if you're kicking off your career with real estate, it's not getting the job. You're not really in a job where you get like paid weekly or biweekly or monthly. You're not on a salary, basically. So what is happening here is you're actually investing in yourself. Investing in yourself by marketing yourself, branding yourself. And in doing so, you have to have some kind of backup. You have to have some reserves, either cash or you have to have a part-time job. You can even, you don't have to have a high paying job, something that pays the bills.
Right.
I am telling you, first 12 months, I only sold 2 properties. I can tell you my commission, the first year was around $14,000. Now, can anyone live with $14,000 a year? No.
No.
I don't think, I mean, I couldn't have. I could not have survived unless I had another income or I had to. But it's just, you have to be patient. It's not going to kick off immediately. You have to keep on spreading the word. You will get a break eventually. My break was actually inadvertently, I didn't mean to, but I kind of like advertised what I had done for my own property before and after. And I kind of like put some statistics out there, some numbers out there, what kind of return I was getting, ROI, return on investment. I kind of put the numbers together. Here's my cash flow, guys. Here's how much I am renting this out monthly. And here's how much my mortgage is. I'm actually making this percentage of money. Would you not be better off investing that money into real estate rather than putting it in your savings account where you get very minimal return on your investment? So that was like my break. I actually had a out-of-state client reach out to me, and I started my career there. Bought him one house, then he referred his friend, bought him another house, and then we went from there.
Very cool. So now you mentioned having a job. So, and you said that you had been teaching, you'd been teaching as a professor. And so did you keep teaching? So I assume that you were teaching then when you started your real estate business.
No, actually after that, I'm an engineer. So I had a full-time job as an engineer. So I was working 8 to 5. So I was working 8 to 5, even when I was studying for the real estate classes, I kind of did them online. Kind of utilize my time during my lunch breaks or whenever I got home. I spend a couple hours, 3-4 hours when I got home. Then I took the exam and then I had my full-time job. So I was lucky that I was able to, I didn't have a family at the time, so I didn't have to worry about like when I come home, I have to dedicate to my family. So when I came back to my full-time, from my full-time job, I spent my time studying. Or after I got my license, I spent my time marketing or just, it doesn't need to be like kind of a straightforward thing. You can just like whenever, very casual, wherever you're in an event, you can just say randomly that this is what you do. People have to know that you do that. Mm. And then once that trust gets built up, people will come to you.
Very cool. So tell me a little bit about some of the systems. Now you've grown this, you've said, you know, it's been growing exponentially. You've kind of been able to explode it a little bit. And also you've been able to find people that you know and trust that you can recommend, right, to these clients of yours to do the fixing up of the house. So what kind of systems do you use to vet people so that like, you know, who to connect people with, and how have you worked on growing your business? So what are some of the strategies that you use to kind of grow this exponential business without like going insane and having to like do it all the time?
Well, I've actually added a few gray hairs if you wanted to know. But yeah, I mean, at the beginning, it's always hard to find the right people for the right job. But once you once you find your rhythm and once you find the right people, you can easily expand. Let's bring an example. Let's say you have a plumbing job and you hire a plumber. You have several options, either to look online, ask friends or colleagues, or just like go to a shop. I mean, these days online seems to be the best. So in vetting them, you first of all, you look at the price and then you look at the quality of the work, and then you have to give them a job to begin with. And then you see, okay, how punctual, responsible, and fair they are going to be on the price. You don't necessarily want to get the cheapest person, but the person who's fair and reasonable. And then once you have a building relationship with that person, I mean, it's going to be much easier. It's going to be win-win for both of you, right? If I am able to give jobs to that person and they can always trust me that they'll get their paycheck on time, they'll be able to work more for me. So I'll continue to utilize them. And as I've grown, I've asked, okay, now I need 2 plumbers. Now I need 3 plumbers. Do you have a friend that needs a job? Okay. Can you refer me your friend as well? Same with other kind of specialties, whether it's flooring, paint, drywall, or any kind of construction specialty that you need. And maintaining a house. Mm-hmm. And then that's you just have to adapt. And once you get bigger, as long as you can manage your time and manage your network, it's going to be easy. But you have to know how to dedicate jobs to the right parties. You have to be able to assign responsibilities. You can't do everything yourself. Mm-hmm. Number one is to be able to assign the jobs to the right person. You just have to try to manage it and coordinate it, which is not easy, but it's doable.
So do you have any tools that you use to help you manage and coordinate? Do you have like any particular technology tools or like spreadsheets or whatever that you use to kind of help you manage all of this?
So, yeah, I mean, one of the things to always have is to, I mean, especially with the real estate deals, you have to have like a timeline on, okay, when did you submit the offer? When are different documentations due? When is the loan deadline? When is the appraisal deadline? So you have to keep all these intact. Every time a new client comes and you start searching for properties for them, as soon as you get on the, you go on the contract, you have to set that timetable so that you can set a reminder for yourself. First thing I do when I wake up is look at my computer and to see what tasks I have waiting for me that day and for which client.
I was going to say, do you use like just like a calendar reminder for all of this stuff, or do you have like a project management software that you use?
No, I kind of use Excel. So it's kind of a custom made Excel. I kind of like programmed it. Excel, you can program yourself to do different kind of tasks, but I've kind of used that just to keep ahead of my clients. I have several Excel sheets. So, and then I have some staff that help me with these tasks as well, as far as like keeping them all in order.
Yeah. And you did talk about, you know, making sure that you assign tasks to people and that you are willing to delegate those responsibilities.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And so now you've grown your staff over the years. So about how many, like how much staff do you have now? How many agents do you have working with you?
So as far as agents, I don't have any other agents working.
Oh, okay.
I have the only one agent, but I have transaction coordinators that help me with my file management, writing up the contracts, keeping up with the deadlines, and making sure each customer, we refer to customers as clients, is taken care of. But as far as being licensed, I'm the only real estate licensee who's, and I like it to be like that because I want to be able to show the house. So I'm the only one who's showing the house because I have worked in this field for quite a bit. I don't really think that, I really think that aspect of it, I can't delegate to anyone else. And that's the key part. That's you need the personality. You need the client to see your face. You know, when you go to see a certain dentist, maybe someone will come and prep your teeth. Or when you go to meet a certain doctor at a doctor's office, maybe the medical assistant will come take your blood or take your measurements and stuff. But when you want to actually go into your problem, you want to talk to the doctor, right? So, I mean, whenever I want to actually pick out the house, I want to be the direct face with the customer or the client. After that, the paperwork is something that could be done by my staff, as well as all the contracting jobs. Of course, I can give my clients my recommendations based on the number of properties that I've seen, based on the number of jobs I have supervised. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to go do the plumbing work for them. Right. So I'll assign that to a staff and the staff will assign the right contractors and we'll go from there.
Okay. Very cool. So you kind of have this kind of have it broken down where, you know, we're like, okay, this is where like the best use of my time is going to be. And that's going to be actually interfacing with the clients, providing that good customer service. And then you can delegate all of these other mundane kind of behind the scene transactional things to your staff because that's not something you need to be involved in.
No, I mean, it's just paperwork, right? It's right. just paperwork. And as long as you train a person to work responsibly, they can do it. So yes, of course, I have a team that can take care of those responsibilities for me.
Very cool. So as you go about this, do you actually bring in any friends and family into your business? Now, you've mentioned that, you know, you got some of your clients originally and started growing that from word of mouth and from your social networks. So is that something that you've done with friends and family before, or do you try and keep that separate?
As far as friends and family, to be honest with you, when you're working with especially family, mm-hmm. you, for me at least, if I want to work for my mom or for my dad, I can't be as professional as I want. It's just, yeah. I can't change my face all of a sudden. So I prefer mm-hmm. to keep it professional. So to answer that, honestly, I've tried to separate family from work. And yes, it was networking my friends on Facebook. A lot of these guys were my colleagues back when we went to school together, right? Right now, they have high-paying jobs in California and Texas, or they have high-paying jobs even in Colorado. But what makes my actual investment opportunity lucrative for them is they are able to rely on my prior experience with other clients who are friends of theirs, and they have a chance to talk to them. Hey, how was your experience? How did the whole real estate transaction go? Okay, it went like that. This was good. This was bad. What about afterwards? Did he help you fix up the property? Okay, how was it like? Was the cost as he had promised? Was he able to find you tenants? Did he help with that? Did he refer someone who could manage your property for you, etc.? These are all key things that your friends, who are going to be my future clients, are going to rely on. So if I do a good job for you as my first client or my second client or my 100th client, and may be able to convince you to spread the word, when you're talking to your other other friends over like a brunch or a lunch. Oh, hey, how have you been? What have you been doing for investment? This is what I've been doing. And that's all word of mouth.
Yeah. And that's amazing that you've been able to kind of grow your business just with word of mouth and those kinds of referrals. So that's way cool. So finally, as we get ready to wrap up here, you mentioned that one of your big pieces of advice was to go ahead and make sure you have some other either big cash reserves or some form of income before you get started into real estate. Do you have any other piece of advice for the budding real estate investor to use to get started?
So let me just start off by this. Right now, today, mm-hmm. the number of houses in the U.S. market is less than the number of people with a real estate agent license. This is a fact. Because inventory is so low, and because of the, let's say, hotness of the market, everybody is trying to get their real estate license. One thing that they have to realize is this is not a job based on salary. This is based on commission. It's based on how much you sell. And you're not going to sell, whether you want to, I'm sure you've seen that movie by Leonardo DiCaprio, right? He was trying to, can you sell me this pen?
Or, oh, yeah, yeah.
yeah. So it's not as easy. It's not as easy. I mean, it's like, and you have to be patient. I mean, another statistics that I read is that 60% of real estate agents, unfortunately, lose hope and let go of their real estate license within the first 3 years because they just can't have the patience to keep on going. I mean, I'm going to be very honest with you. I was very disappointed the first year as well. I mean, I would go and don't get me wrong. I would advertise. I would like talk to everybody. But I was putting myself in their shoes. Why should they trust me who has sold zero homes mm-hmm. and have just started while there's so many experienced agents out there with years of experience? But I didn't give up. I kept on going. And you'll get a break. You'll get a break. But you just need to financially support yourself at that time. So don't look at a real estate agent's job as like, okay, I'm going to make money out of it straight away. Have some part-time job. You can do whatever you want. You can work in a sandwich shop. You can teach. You can go and use your savings. But if you do that at that point, once you get the breakthrough, you just have to continue working. And that's the other thing. The jobs are going to come, but you need to keep marketing yourself. You need to market yourself. You can't get egotistical and say, okay, I'm good right now. I don't need to market anymore. You need to do that. You need to be patient. Try to take clients out for lunch. Try to educate them more than anything. That's my other advice. That's what I was doing freely. I was educating them. I was all about numbers. This is how much, and because a lot of these people don't know, okay, what is principal? What's interest? What other payments do you have? Okay, what's insurance? Is home insurance mandatory? What's PMI? What percentage can I put down? How does my taxes get affected by this? If you educate them without the intention of, okay, I want to sell you this pen, you can say, okay, this pen, it was made in Germany. It's got an exterior lead. The ink is great. It's going to last you 3 years. And guess what? If you run out of this ink, you can go to the manufacturer of this pen and they can refill it. And when you want to throw it out, you can recycle it and get some tax returns from it. I'm just telling you this as an example. You can try to educate people on homes, how much tax breaks you can get from your home. Did you know that if you buy a home as versus renting a home, you can get breaks on your taxes? You have tax deductions on your mortgage, on your interest, on your property tax. Some of the repairs that you do, you can, if you're using it for your office space, you can deduct those as well. When you try to educate a person without forcing them to buy something, they'll be absorbed. It's just as simple as that.
Very cool. I like that idea of, you know, being helpful and useful and providing good, you know, and then it kind of comes back to you. So, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Arash, talking about your Castle Real Estate and your business. Thank you, all of you listeners, for joining us on Hometown Real Estate Heroes. And once again, Arash, if you could tell us where folks can find you online.
Sure. They can just Google my name. My name is Arash Hajjam, A-R-A-S-H. H-A-J-J-A-M. They can, my contact information is there. They can reach me by email as well. ARASH20@gmail.com. I would be happy to help you guys and talk to you in depth.
Very cool. Once again, thanks again, Arash, for joining us. And thank you all for listening to Hometown Real Estate Heroes. And we will catch you all next time.
This is Mitch Stephen, and I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please go to 1000houses.com/podcast, 2/apply. We invite all our listeners to share our Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast, and also we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and or review our show wherever you listen to your podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. It is our mission to spotlight local real estate entrepreneurs that are killing it in their market and to highlight their strategies and their personal story. It is our intention to help real estate investors learn and grow. Please be sure to subscribe because we are sure that you will find very valuable nuggets in our content-driven episodes. This podcast is my way of giving back, and I would like to personally thank all of the Hometown Real Estate Heroes that have participated or that intend to participate. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and hope that you tune in and share this with your friends and family often. Thank you very much. We're out of here.